Thank you for listening to this sermon from Hope Church, Toronto West. It is our prayer that through these audio sermons, you are challenged and transformed by the Word of God, built up in love and faith, and drawn more to the person and work of Jesus Christ. We want to remind you that these online resources are never meant to be a substitute for God's good plan for you to be present, connected, and serving in a local church under the care of qualified elders. If you live in the West Toronto area and are looking for a local church, we encourage you to come check out one of our Sunday services. Now, as you prepare your heart to receive God's word, we pray that His Spirit would use the sermon powerfully in your life.
Now, back in 2016, I read an article in the Maclean's magazine, and it was an interesting article. This was the title: What is the key to growing Protestant churches? An exclusive, remarkable study finds that mainline Protestant churches that focus on the gospel and prayer are growing, while those that don't are in decline. Now, what Maclean's magazine would call remarkable and exclusive, we would call basic and biblical. Of course, when churches abandon the authority of God's word, they decline. Of course, when churches refuse to accept and believe in the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, they decline. Of course. Because as Al Mohler once asked, why would the world go to a Christian church that is set on convincing them that their Christian beliefs are wrong? God has chosen that elders lead His church in such a way that guards and protects His church from ever walking down the dangerous and disastrous path of abandoning altogether the Word of God, the authority of the Bible, and the authority and lordship of Jesus Christ as God in our midst. And so what we're focusing on today, this morning, is a huge deal in the life of any church, and specifically today as we commission two elders. It's a huge deal in the life of our church because, as Dave Harvey puts it, the quality of a church's elder plurality will determine the health of the church. Someone else put it this way: as the elders go, so goes the church. And let me just tell you, that is true. And so I want you to take your Bibles with me and go to 1 Peter chapter 5. If you don't have a Bible, you can put up your hand, and one of the ushers on either side would love to put a copy of God's word into your hand. If you don't own a Bible, that Bible will be our gift to you. We would absolutely love for you to take it and read it and have your life changed by the word of God. 1 Peter chapter 5 is where we're going to be, and we're going to expound verses 1 to 6. What we have in front of us in 1 Peter 5, 1 to 6, is one of the Bible's key passages on the subject of elders, what they do and how they are to do it. 1 Peter chapter 5, starting from verse 1, this is what Peter writes. He says, "So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed." This is what you got to do, elders. He says in verse 2, "Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight." How? Not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And Peter says, persecuted believers, to suffering believers, to believers and elders who are struggling to endure. And Peter says, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Verse 5, "Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. All right, we're going to jump right in. So much in this text. I'm going to pull a bunch of truth out and pray that it takes root in our hearts. If you're making notes, this is where we're going to start. We need to understand today this, of the ministry of the elders, or if you want to say it another way, of what they do. What they do. What are elders supposed to do? Well, I want you to notice verse 1 first. Peter says, "So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed." Let's stop right there. What's Peter talking about? Well, right away, Peter is saying to the elders that I understand the demands of being an elder. I understand and I know what it means to suffer. In fact, I've witnessed the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, he needs to start that way because he wants to remind the elders in these churches that are struggling to endure, he wants to remind them that, yes, there is a cost to leadership. He wants to remind the elders of the example that they need to follow, the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he reminds the elders of the example that they must be in the church, specifically in this context, in the midst of suffering. So Peter says, I've seen Jesus suffer, following his example. And when it gets hard for you, this is where you need to look. Now, the exhortation, two things that'll be on the screen for you. The ministry of the elders, firstly, is to a shepherd of the flock. It's right in the text, verse 2. He says, shepherd the flock of God that is among you. The phrase shepherd the flock of God can be translated a shepherd the sheep of God, or serve as a shepherd. That's important. Serve as a shepherd. The word shepherd can also be translated pastor. So to shepherd the flock is to serve as a shepherd or to serve as a pastor. And I want to emphasize to you again, serve. I want you to notice also the exhortation is to shepherd the flock, here it is, of God. You see that in the text? Shepherd the flock of God. So there are two absolutely crucial things that are being taught to us here. Number one, the church of Jesus Christ belongs to who? To God. Not to the shepherds, but to the chief shepherd. And secondly, God has ordained that elders are to keep watch over his church as a stewardship, the church that he has purchased with his own blood. And that means then that the office of elder should never be viewed casually by anyone, and the office of elder should never, ever be entered into casually or carelessly. Maybe you're sitting here right now, you're thinking, well, it's already, this message is not for me. Wrong. There's so much more coming that is for you and for me. And if you're not an elder, for you this message applies. We need to understand how to view eldership, as well as the elders need to understand how to enter into eldership. We don't enter into it casually. We don't view it casually, but rather with reverence and trembling and humility. Why? Because this is God's church. Think about that. Think about that when you have some words to say about the church. You're talking about God's church. Think about that when you have some sharp words you want to say about the church. It's God's church. He loves his church. It belongs to him. And this ought to shape the way we think about the church. I want you to notice how Paul puts it on the screen for you in Acts 20, 28. He says to the elders in Ephesus, pay careful attention to yourself. Fall asleep here. This is serious stuff. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God. Notice this. Which he obtained with his own blood. And the idea of shepherding and serving in 1 Peter is huge, especially as you consider the context of 1 Peter. Peter's writing in the midst of a culture that's hostile towards Christians, but he's also writing in the midst of a culture of domination on the part of leaders over those in their care. This is important. Whether it was the government abusing their authority, or employers abusing their authority, or husbands abusing their authority, all throughout Peter's letter, Peter has been combating the tyrannical, domineering kind of leadership by teaching a countercultural and counterintuitive kind of leadership. He's teaching the way of servanthood. Shepherd the flock of God, he says to the elders that is among you. Serve them. Serve the church as a pastor, as a shepherd. He's laying out for us the way of humility. Now, at the risk of stating the obvious, I want us to understand that this is the way of Jesus Christ. Humility. This is the kind of humble leadership that Jesus lived out and exemplified. It's humility. The kind of humble leadership that's the way of the cross. It's the kind of leadership that mark Christians and Christian leaders. It's the kind of humble leadership that is the distinguishing mark of the Christian church and Christian leaders. I want you to listen to what Jesus said in Mark 10, 42 to 45. He said to his disciples, it says, and Jesus called them to him and said, you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles, what do? They lord it over them. That's what they do out there. And their great ones exercise authority over them, but it shall not be so among you, he says to his disciples. Jesus says something profound. He says, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. Give his life as a ransom for many. There's all kinds of examples out there of what leadership should be in the church. There's no end to the books that are written. Top 5 ways to grow your church. Top 10 ways to be an effective leader. Top 3 ways to impact your culture. All these kind of things out there. But if we have lost, shepherd the flock of God that is among you. Serve as a pastor. Serve with humility. Then we've lost the essence of the office that God has ordained to lead the church. What do elders do? They shepherd, they pastor, they serve, they protect the flock of God. The ministry of the elders, what they do, they shepherd the flock of God. Secondly, this, the ministry of the elders is to exercise oversight. Exercise oversight. I want you to see it in verse 2 again. Verse 2, shepherd the flock of God that is among you. Notice this now, exercising oversight. Now, exercising oversight translates a Greek verb which means functioning as an overseer. Here we find 3 words, elder, pastor, shepherd, and overseer, being used interchangeably to describe this office and this function of an elder. To exercise oversight means to maintain a close and careful eye. That's the essence of what it means. To place a close and careful eye on what's happening in the life of the church. That's why faithful elders and pastors must be very concerned with knowing the condition of the flock. No faithful pastor or elder can do this perfectly, but this needs to be our aim, to know well the condition of the flock. That's why faithful elders must be more interested in the names and faces of people rather than some other metric of success and growth, whatever that may be. The best pastors and elders are the ones who in their hearts understand the call to exercise oversight and understand that inherent to that call to exercise oversight is to understand and know and pay careful attention to people. It's all about the people. You can have a large, amazing, finely tuned organization, but if the elders are not exercising oversight by ensuring that the people are known and loved, then they're failing. I want you to understand, this does not mean that every elder can know every single person all the time. That becomes impossible. At some point, it becomes a sheer numbers game. I imagine that the apostles in Acts 2 had a hard time knowing all 3,000 people that came to faith that day, and then became 5,000, and then became close to what commentators estimate 15 to 20,000. But there must be, I suggest to you, an intentional plan by the elders for how they will give a good account for the people under their care. A plan for exercising oversight. A plan, a strategy, a biblical strategy for maintaining a close eye. This is what we're talking about. This is the responsibility of the elders. This is the ministry of the elders. It's what they do. Shepherd the flock of God, and they exercise oversight. All right, that's what they do, the ministry of the elders. Let's talk really briefly here then about why and how they do it. Let's talk about the heart of the elders. That's number two, why and how they do it. Look with me at the text, starting from verse 2. Peter says, shepherd the flock of God that is among you. Do this, exercising oversight. Watch this now. How should elders do this? And why should they do this? Notice this. Not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. Verse 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. All right. The elders are exhorted to shepherd the flock, exercising oversight. And here's the heart now. Notice this on the screen. Firstly, not because they have to, but because they want to. Not because they have to, but because they want to. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight. Notice this, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Other translations say, not by constraint. The idea here is that an elder is not to serve out of obligation because they feel like they have to, or because they're pressured in some way to do so, or because they feel like if they don't do it, no one else will. That's compulsion. No. Elders are to model for the flock the kind of ministry that we want to mark every single person in our church. The kind of heart. It's sacrificial. It's joyful. It's even painful at times. But it's ministry that is done with a willing heart. I look around the Christian church these days, and sometimes I'm just like, where are all the people who serve willingly? Why are ministry leaders so busy? Like, oh, I don't want to ask this person to serve because they got mad at me last time. And I don't want to ask this person to serve because, oh, they're getting all bent out of shape. They're tired. And I don't want to ask this person. Why are we tiptoeing? Maybe because the elders are not setting the example. Maybe. Or maybe because the church is not following the example. We serve willingly, not because we have to. We come and sacrifice willingly, not because anyone's pointing a gun to our heads. That's what needs to mark the heart of the elders. We roll up our sleeves. We work. When it's painful, we go for it. We say to the church, come with us. This is a joy. There's nothing like this. There's no greater privilege than to serve Jesus Christ. Come on, be like us. Do like us. That's the call. So elders are exhorted to shepherd the flock and exercise oversight, not because they have to, because they want to. And here's my prayer for our church, that the elders of our church would model that, and that you, loved ones, would follow in our example. Joyful, sacrificial, ministry. Next, not because they have to, but because they want to. Secondly, this, not for selfish gain, but with Christ-exalting desire. Not for selfish gain, but with Christ-exalting desire. Look at this, the verse 2 again. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you. Here it is now. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Now, the word translated eagerly emphasizes a positive emotional desire to do the work. So the heart of an elder is to serve eagerly, and not for themselves, not for anything they can gain, but for Christ's sake. Now, as I was just saying, it seems to me that these days there's a shortage of faithful men and women who serve the Lord eagerly. These are interesting times that we're living in. I look around and the consensus with other pastors is there seems to be more pastors leaving the ministry than coming in. There seems to be more elders leaving the ministry than coming in. There are people who serve if they can get paid. There are people who will serve if there's a large enough platform. There are people who serve if all the conditions are met, the affirmation of others, the ease of the serving schedule, whatever it may be. There are people that serve, but the mark of the service of the elders is not for shameful gain. It's not for what's in it for me, but eagerly. A real desire, a positive emotion, a desire to serve, not for what's in it for me. The church, loved ones, must be led by elders who serve eagerly. Set an example for the flock, not for shameful gain, but for the glory of God. Not perfectly, but sincerely. And a church that is led by elders like this, and a church filled with people like this, will be a church that is powerful and powerfully blessed. This is our hearts for our church. And that's why you need to pray for the elders. In fact, all throughout this message, as I'm preaching this, you need to be sitting here thinking, I need to pray for the elders, that they have this heart. So elders are exhorted to shepherd the flock, exercise oversight, not because they have to, but because they want to, not for selfish gain, but with Christ exalting desire. Thirdly, this, and not with a heavy hand, but an example worth imitating. Look at in verse 3. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. Now, a biblically qualified elder is an example to the flock. You look at the qualifications in Timothy and Titus, and elders are not to be perfect in all these areas. They're to be exemplary, though. They're to be examples. Peter says, not domineering, but examples. So that we can say with the Apostle Paul when he wrote, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. And loved ones, the church needs to be less about celebrity pastors on screens calling the shots from a distance, and more about local shepherds who are close enough to observe and imitate and live with. How else can you be an example? The elders must be close enough to the flock, to be observed and to be emulated. You hear stories about pastor after pastor who's gone down, abusive pastor over here, domineering over here, controlling over here, manipulative over here. And listen, no pastor is perfect, and every single pastor and elder has their shortcomings and their flaws and their own battle in their sanctification process. But you need to understand that elders are to be marked by servanthood, gentleness, love, not domineering over those in their charge. Elders are exhorted to shepherd the flock and exercise oversight, not because they have to, but because they want to, not for selfish gain, but with Christ's exalting desire, not with a heavy hand, but with an example worth imitating. Finally, elders are exhorted to shepherd the flock and exercise oversight. You can make a note of this. Not for an earthly reward, but for an unfading crown. Want you to see verse 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. How does Peter encourage and motivate the elders who are struggling to endure in his letter? How does Peter encourage the elders who maybe are feeling like giving up? Well, he encourages them with their eternal hope. So the more that I grow, the more that I get older, the more that I fulfill my role as an elder and a pastor, the more that I realize this thing is not going to get easier. And what keeps me serving diligently and faithfully when I feel like giving up? What keeps you enduring? What keeps you pressing on when you feel like everything around you is crumbling? What keeps you moving on? Well, it is this. We serve for that day, a day that is coming when the chief shepherd will return. That I was sitting with someone this week or last week, I can't quite remember, and I was sharing with them, man, it's becoming more and more clear to me that I'm not serving as an elder here in this church for what anyone can do for me or what I can gain in this life. It's not about this life. I am serving. I am enduring. I am not giving up because one day Jesus Christ is coming back and I want to look at him. Amen. And I want him to look me in the eye. And I want his approval. And he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. But you know the days where I feel like giving up? The days when I'm wallowing in my own self-pity. Why is it so hard? How could they say that about me? Why isn't this happening the way I wanted it to happen? And in doing those things, I'm focusing on what's in it for me in many ways. Listen, loved ones, for the elders and the pastors, there's so much in it for you. There's a day coming when the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, will return. And on that day, elders in the room, on that day, and this applies to all of us, on that day when the chief shepherd returns, we are going to wish we served our faces off. Because he's going to hand us an unfading crown. What keeps me from giving up? It's my eternal hope. It's Jesus Christ, my Savior. And no matter how hard it gets here, there is a sure day coming when I promise you it will all be worth it. And I could preach this message here in prosperous Toronto, or I could preach this message in China under oppressive regimes, or I could preach this message in the Middle East where pastors are being imprisoned. It's the same truth that transcends all culture. We serve for an unfading crown. That's what we want you, church family, to see in the elders. An endurance that inspires you to endure. Not for this life, but for the hope of the next. So, this is how elders need to serve. Now, maybe you're sitting here and you've grabbed a few things, but you're thinking, Well, in large part, this message is not for me. Maybe you're thinking that. Well, I have two things I want to close with that for sure will be for you. If you're sitting here thinking, great, great sermon on elders, wonderful. I hope you guys all do that. Here are two things for you. Number one, what must I do? This is the call from Scripture to you. Submit to and support your elders. Look at verse 5. Peter goes on to say, likewise, you who are younger, notice it, be subject to the elders. What must I do? Be subject to the elders. Now, we're not quite sure why Peter only chooses to mention younger people here. It's probably because younger people may be more prone to move away from authority. But regardless, the context supports the idea that this is very much an exhortation to everyone to submit to and support the leaders. Elsewhere, the writer to the Hebrews says in Hebrews 13:17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. What must I do? Support and submit to your elders in a way that makes their leadership a joy. Sometimes it's not a joy to lead certain people. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm very serious. Sometimes it's not a joy. Sometimes it contributes to groaning. Oh, please, Lord, change their hearts. Help them to be humble. Help them to be agreeable. Help them to stop being divisive. Oh, sometimes it's not a joy to lead certain people. Can I say in this church, it's been my experience over the last 10 years, that it's overwhelmingly been a joy to serve you, to see your love for Jesus Christ, to see your steady endurance, to see your faithfulness, to see your generosity that helps us as elders serve with joy. Keep going, loved ones. What must I do? Submit to and support your elders. Finally, what must I do? Together, pursue a life of humility. Look at verse 5 again. Peter goes on, clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time, he may exalt you. Together, pursue a life of humility. When we first started the church, way back 10 years ago, I used to say, we could get through anything with humility. But it takes everyone involved. And we can get through anything with humility if we humble ourselves, clothe ourselves in humility. That's the exhortation. Not by way of lip service. But the call is for each of us, starting with the elders, to pursue humility. Not thinking less of ourselves, not in some self-deprecating way, thinking of ourselves less is what C.S. Lewis says. Think of other people as better than ourselves. That's humility. Paul lays it out in Philippians 2. And he gives the example of Jesus Christ, who did that. He became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So that's what we want to do as elders. We want to think of you as better than ourselves. Do we do that perfectly all the time? No. Do we fail sometimes? Yes. This is what we need to be together, pursuing humility. humility together. Because there's so much work to be done. In many ways, in a few moments, as we commission two elders, it marks for us a new season and a new day. God has been faithful to our church. He's brought us to this point today. And that shows me that he's not finished with us. Amen? Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Let's pray together.
For more resources and information about Hope Church Toronto West, please visit hopechurchtw.ca.